Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word to us, and we ask that by the power of your Holy Spirit, we might see a glimpse of your love and truth this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Now, I suspect, like me, you're not huge fans of celebrity culture, but it seems to me that one of the advantages is that we have these things, don't we, that seem to have emerged in recent years called national treasures. People who've reached a ripe old age and are well known and well loved. So David Attenborough is a good example of a national treasure. And when he talks about the damage we're doing to the planet, people kind of sit up and take notice. And the Queen as well. I think it's really impressive, and I'm sure it's increased over time, the amount of Christian faith she puts into her speech on Christmas Day. Three times, I think, this year, she mentioned Jesus or her faith or something like that, which is really good, because lots of people watch. And I can't help feeling that St. John would have been a national treasure if he'd been around today, and certainly in the early church he must have been, mustn't he, because he'd been there for such a long time. And the gospel reading has that hint that people knew he was going to live a long time. They thought he was probably never going to even die. And he obviously realised when he wrote that he was going to die. He wasn't expected to live forever. But nevertheless, he did live a long time. And in fact, I hadn't entirely appreciated, but as you'll be aware, we have white for Christmas. But white, John is the only apostle that has white, because all the rest were martyred. So everyone else has red. But he was the only one that wasn't actually martyred, as far as we know. And of course, it's all tradition, isn't it? But he was quite something. And I always also think it's quite amazing they didn't write any of his writings until, people believe, 85 to 95 AD. So he'd had a whole lifetime of mulling over what this was all about and thinking about it before he wrote it all down. And so there is that real sense, isn't there, of wisdom distilled into what's important when we read, whether it's John's Gospel or his letters or even Revelation, although that may have been even nearer the end of his life. And of course, that passage from the first chapter of the letter is very similar to the Gospel, opening of the Gospel, the prologue that we heard at midnight and at the carol service. Because they both talk about the eternal nature of Jesus being from the beginning. Both passages call Jesus the Word, although in his letter he clarifies it as the Word of life. But he's nevertheless the revelation of God who stepped into the world to help us understand him. And there's that real theme of light and darkness running through both passages as well. Gospel of John says the light was the light, the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. And of course, we've just heard from the letter, God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. God is light. We don't need to fear the darkness, and yet, of course, we still know there is lots of darkness around. Both passages as well stress the real significance of the incarnation. John 1 says, we have seen his glory, the glory as of a father's only son, full of grace and truth. John's talking of having seen Jesus, but John expands it in the letter, not just that he saw Jesus, but that he heard him and touched him with his hands. And that's only possible, isn't it, when God becomes a human being. In the Old Testament, of course, God's voice is heard occasionally, like at the top of Mount Sinai. But then the people weren't even allowed to go anywhere near the mountain, let alone touch God. But here is Jesus in human form, being able to be touched and seen and heard. And of course, when we go on to communion, we have that sense of the concept of the body of Christ being something we eat as well, something that we taste and smell and touch. The incarnation is so central to what we believe, and John obviously sees that in his writings. But John, although he's often called John the Divine, which just means a theologian, isn't, of course, just an airy-fairy theologian. He cares about how we live our lives as well. And not only does he care, the advice really rings too, doesn't it? That second paragraph of the first chapter about sinning and saying we have no sin and not, the truth not being in us is perhaps one of the most encouraging parts of the New Testament, because sometimes when you read Paul, it feels so much that we don't sin anymore because we've got the Spirit in us. But it's so much more encouraging when you read John and the reality of the fact that we do. We do walk in the light and not darkness, and we should be living our lives that way. But we also have to admit that sometimes we get it wrong. And it's significant, isn't it, that that passage, that little bit where he says, if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship, and you expect it to be with God, but it's not. We have fellowship with one another. Loving God and loving our neighbour is actually the same thing. And there's a tradition that when John was a very frail old man, he'd be carried into the congregation on his bed, and all he would ever say is, love one another, because that was the essence of the message he had distilled down after years of reflection. That is the best way to show our love for God, loving one another. But we're not perfect, and however hard we try, we don't always manage to love one another, or love God, or even love ourselves in the way we want to. But that's okay, because we can admit that, as we already have done this morning. And as John writes, he who is faithful and just will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Jesus, of course, came to save us from our sins, and if we deny the need of that, we deny all that he's done for us. But if we accept the truth, seek to live in a way that glorifies him, but recognises the times that we fail, we'll be living lives free of guilt and free of fear, and with a renewed ability to love both our neighbour and ourselves, and in that way to love God too. So let's pray. Father, we thank you for the example of St. John, for his long life, his wisdom, and the words that have come down to us today. Words that are part of your word, your revelation to us. Help us, Lord, to live our lives in the light of this understanding, to love one another, to love you, and to love ourselves in a way that reflects Jesus' love for us and shines as a light in the world. In his precious name we pray. Amen.